Our Old Testament lesson is from the prophet Amos. I will read the very beginning of the book, the first two verses in chapter 1, and then I'll read from chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, and then 21 to 24. And 24 is the verse that we've already heard. The words of Amos, who is among the shepherds of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of King Uzziah of Judah and in the days of King Jeroboam, son of Joash of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. And Amos said, "The Lord roars from Zion and utters his voice from Jerusalem. The pastures of the shepherds wither and the top of Carmel dries up. Seek good and not evil, that you may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, will be with you, just as you have said. Hate evil and love good, and establish justice in the gate. It may be that the Lord, the God of hosts, will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. I despise your festivals, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them, and the offerings of well-being of your fatted animals I will not look upon. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the melody of your harps. But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The first time I lived in California, I was working as a seminary intern at the First Presbyterian Church of Vallejo. And this was in 1996 to 97. At the time, I was single. I went to see a lot of movies by myself, which I never felt shame about because I loved movies. And there was one movie that I saw 4 times in the theaters. It was Cold Comfort Farm. Maybe you're familiar with it. I loved it. I thought it was hilarious. I laughed in all the same places each time as if I were hearing it for the first time. And the protagonist in the film is a young, sophisticated woman who lives in London named Flora Post. Flora's parents have just died, and Flora accepts an invitation from her eccentric cousin, Judith Starkadder, and Judith is inviting Flora to come and live with them at Cold Comfort Farm, which is in the English countryside. And the letter was just eccentric enough that Flora decided to try it out. She had a spirit of adventure, why not? Judith is married to Amos Starkadder, and Amos is a preacher for the Church of the Quivering Brethren. One Sunday morning, Flora walks to church with Amos and starts asking him a bunch of questions like, "Why is your church called the Church of the Quivering Brethren?" And Amos replies, "Because they quiver." And so Flora sits in the congregation as Amos begins to preach. Amos says, "Ye miserable crawling worms, are ye here again then? Have ye come like Nimshi, son of Rehoboam, secretly out of your doomed houses to hear what's coming to you? Have ye come to hear me tell you of the great crimson licking flames of hellfire? Ah, you've come, dozens of you, like rats to the granary. And what good will it do you? You're all damned." And the people in the congregation all shake with fear, and they're quivering. And then Amos says, "You know how you burn your hand on this hot stove. You burn your hand and you want to get just a little bit of butter, just a little bit of butter to take the pain away. Well, there is no butter in hell." And all the people in the congregation quiver, all except Flora, who stares at Amos as if he's lost his mind. And Flora doesn't make it through the whole church service. She quietly exits. I would have done the same. And when Amos confronts her about it later, she just says, "I was overwhelmed, cousin." Flora then begins to drop hints to Amos about how great a preacher he is, and that perhaps he could travel all over the English countryside in a Ford van and preach to the multitudes in different places. Of course, what Flora is really trying to do is to get Amos off the farm. And one day, Amos does get a Ford van. And he announces to his family that he's about to leave so that he can go on a preaching tour. Judith exclaims, "What are we going to do without you?" And Amos replies, God will provide, or not, according to his will. What a character. And one almost wonders if Amos Starkadder was named after the biblical Amos. Listen again to the biblical Amos from today's reading. Alas, for you who desire the day of the Lord. Why do you want the day of the Lord? It is darkness, not light, as if someone fled from a lion and was met by a bear, or went into the house and rested a hand against the wall and was bitten by a snake. Is not the day of the Lord darkness, not light, and gloom with no brightness in it? Now, the day of the Lord was actually something that the Israelites were looking forward to, because for them, it was the day when God would come and vindicate them and give them ultimate victory over all their enemies. It was something to look forward to. And then Amos comes along and spoils it. He has the audacity to say that the day of the Lord will actually be a calamitous reckoning, because the people will have to account for their sins of exploiting poor farmers and their callous disregard of the poor. Now, one gets the impression that the Israelites, if they could have, they would have gladly sent Amos packing away in his own Ford van to a preaching tour somewhere else. And in a sense, Amos has already traveled in his Ford van. He was a shepherd from Tekoa, which is on the outskirts of Jerusalem, in the southern kingdom of Judah. And then he traveled north to the northern kingdom of Israel to confront the worshipers in Bethel. And he really lets them have it. In chapter 2, he calls Israel out, saying that they sell the righteous for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, and trample the head of the poor into the dust of the earth, and push the afflicted out of the way. In chapter 4, we hear Israel described as those who oppress the poor and who crush the needy. And in chapter 5, because they trample the poor and take from them levies of grain, they shall not dwell in houses hewn of stone, or drink from the vineyards they have planted. And here at the end of chapter 5, despite the religiosity of the day, despite the increase in worship attendance, positive offering trends, through Amos the Lord says, I despise your festivals, I will not accept your offerings, take away from me the noise of your songs. The public show of piety means nothing to God. Genuine worship has to be congruent with the way that you actually live your life. It has to be congruent with the true values of society if society embraces those right values. And according to Amos, God is not interested in some kind of trickle-down creek where we get justice in small bits, but instead for a big flow of justice, a torrent of righteousness. Biblical justice is all about treating the poor with equity and not with contempt. It's about creating systems where all can prosper, and not just a few. This is God's vision of justice proclaimed by Amos. And this is what differentiates the biblical Amos from Amos Starkadder. You never hear a word of grace from Amos Starkadder. But the biblical Amos gives us the gift of a vision of justice rolling down like waters, and righteousness, right relationship with each other and with God, flowing like an ever-flowing stream. Now, both Amoses do have some judgment, but with the biblical Amos, the main point is the grace. He calls God's people to repent, even if he thinks that they won't. And he offers them this beautiful vision. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. quoted Amos 5:24 multiple times. It was one of his favorite scriptures. King was once asked what it would take for him and the civil rights movement to be satisfied. And King responded that they would not relent until African Americans had equal access to voting, employment, and public facilities, and were no longer subject to the unspeakable horrors of police brutality. And King concluded, "No, we are not satisfied, and we will not be satisfied until justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream." It's been 60 years since King spoke those words. And are we any closer to that day? when justice will roll down? It might not seem like it. One could probably cite a lot of evidence to suggest that we're not any closer. But we still have the gift of that vision. And what a wonderful gift it is. And we can live into that vision as if the cascades of justice were already rolling down. And in the meantime, we can do what we can. I have seminary classmates who are pastors in Charlotte, North Carolina, and they told me about a recent dedication ceremony for the Cultivate Townhomes Project. The Brooks family, the owners of the Brooks Sandwich House in Charlotte, had donated land to Habitat for Humanity, and then Habitat for Humanity built 17 townhomes so that there would be some more affordable housing in East Charlotte. And at the dedication ceremony, David Brooks, not the columnist David Brooks, but the sandwich house David Brooks, said the following: "I'm not a wealthy man. In fact, I'm going to work after this." And he was wearing his Brooks Sandwich House shirt. And he continued, "But you don't have to be wealthy to make good things happen. You just have to do what you can." And I'm quite sure that if the columnist David Brooks had been there, he would have said amen to everything that the sandwich house David Brooks had said. With the gift of a vision, knowing how the story will end, that it will end with justice cascading down, we can then go about doing what we can and encouraging each other. Today at 5, as you've heard, there's an opportunity for us to do what we can. We're hosting a community dinner in Fellowship Hall in an effort to provide a meal for those who may be food insecure in our community and with all the uncertainty around SNAP benefits and everything else. And there are still opportunities to help. If you can help serve or help us set up, you can let me know or my wife Emma know. And also a big help would be simply to come and eat and sit down with and visit with all the guests who come to the dinner. And the plans are to host a second community dinner next Sunday, November 16th. And then we can evaluate the two community dinners. Is it something that we could do more regularly, perhaps beginning in January after we have hosted Heart and Home? And we know that at Covenant, our volunteer bench is not as deep as it once was. But we can partner with others in our community who also want to do what they can to help. And again, they may not think of themselves as particularly religious, but perhaps they'd be willing to join us in helping. And this might well be a ministry model for us to follow in other areas as well, partnering with others who would like to join and do something hands-on. And God willing, we can help bless and be blessed by our neighbors, one at a time, until a cascade of justice and mercy and love washes all over us. All glory and praise be to our God. Amen.